This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 680. I am Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have Diecast, and we have Chris.
Hi.
Matt.
Hello.
Don.
Yo.
Happy birthday, Don.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
50.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you to everybody for a really nice birthday between my girlfriend and y'all. It was an awesome 50th.
Wait, you're actually 50 now?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to have to start joking that he's 65 starting this year.
Rob turned 35. Happy birthday, Rob.
Thank you.
He gets younger. And
I had people on my YouTube videos saying I thought you were 20 or I thought you were 30. So yay for sounding extremely immature, I suppose.
Yeah, it helps me out. Actually, John's birthday was, what, a month ago? 2 months ago, something like that? John, did you turn 40 or 39? I can't remember.
40.
You turned 40. Okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy about it.
No, he was John's not. John's not answering out of being embarrassed. He said a few minutes ago he would be right back, and I don't think he's actually returned from his
read our Skype chat. So, yeah, cool. So,
happy birthday. Oh, well, John just left, so maybe he was bothered by the age thing. Never mind.
41. Turned 41 a couple weeks ago. Yeah. It happens. So, let's see here. What else that finally happened is we're getting a Fan First Friday. We'll talk a little more about that later, but thank God it finally happened.
Yeah, also, we're only like 2 months behind all the other brands.
Yeah, some of them have had like two at this point, haven't they?
Star Wars and Marvel, Star I think, have both had two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, finally happening, we did get It's a Don Deal posted. So it is now up. It'll be in your podcast feed by the time you hear this.
And a third thing finally happened, too.
The Toy Detectives, a patron-exclusive podcast, will be posted this weekend. So by the time you hear this, it may already be in the feed of our patrons on Patreon. It is a patron-exclusive podcast. I'm going to try to
do that to every patron tier?
Every patron tier. I'll make it available to everybody. I'm pretty sure that's sort of... I want to do more Patreon-exclusive stuff. You know, not that we don't love all of our fans, don't get me wrong, but if the people who, you know, care enough to put down money, they really do must love us, believe it or not.
And so they'll probably listen to any kind of stuff we put out because, you know, we're sitting talking about something and being us, and it's going to be weird.
Yeah, so I will try
like that fast food podcast we keep tossing around.
We need to do that.
And also Melvar Legends, we need to like do some legwork on that and figure out
if I ever figure out a format.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could take the superhero time approach and just kind of let the format find you as you go through it.
Hey, that's how the show RFC has changed so much over the years.
Oh yeah.
Like our format has changed like 50 times. And it just slowly
evolving.
Yeah, it's constantly evolving, so I'm not worried about it. Let's see.
Freeform Chaos is very popular, so you should definitely consider that.
Too many podcasts are interview podcasts, and I hate interview podcasts. I don't like podcasts where it's just somebody interviewing folks every episode. I kind of like the whole freeform thing with loose segments that we sort of do. That's sort of my preference when it comes to how podcasts are formatted.
How dare you run a podcast that goes to your preference?
Yeah, I know, right?
How dare you run a podcast that goes out on the internet?
That's where I thought he was going. let's see here. We're also going to post a new RFC throwback this weekend. It'll go to patrons first. And that podcast, it's patron exclusive for 3 months. So I think it'll be September before it's live to everybody else. We started that earlier this year, so we'll have a new one out to the general public here in a couple weeks, which will be the one from, I think, April, March. So, but that podcast, we try to produce evergreen content, try to do it a little different every episode. The one that we are going to post to patrons here this weekend or next will feature the collecting tips and tricks that we recorded back on our last live stream that we did back in May. So I've got that edited and ready to go. I'll probably add a couple another segment or two there just to flesh it out a little more, but that podcast will be ready to go too. Oh, let's see here. Anything else? There's a lot of stuff going on. It's kind of crazy. Ant put it best today. The biggest winner for all the news was us for all this breaking before showtime instead of being like early Thursday morning.
That's rare, isn't it?
It is rare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very rare. Very much so.
Yeah.
The last time we had timing kind of like this, I think, was with the Street Fighter crossovers, which, as we all know, was for a Tuesday for everybody else. Ha!
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
Somebody say Street Fighter.
Yes.
Hi, John.
Welcome back, John.
Hey, thanks. John. Well, the Street Fighter V, the arcade version, never came to home consoles.
That's a trick question.
Yeah, I guess not.
It's a matter of perspective.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, my local arcade has that.
Really?
That crazy? Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
I went on a wicked win streak against who knows who on round one's, I don't know, internet network, whatever. But yes, it has online play, which is weird. So you're sitting in an arcade playing an online fighting game.
That sounds horrible.
It sounds really sad, especially when you consider a guy at that time was a 39-year-old at the time was sitting there playing alone in an arcade against somebody somewhere. Very sad.
For all you know, yeah. You were playing against like a 45-year-old, though.
I might have been. Man, if only we could have seen each other XV and just like, you know, like touched each other's hand on the screen. Just put my hand up against the screen and he puts his hand up against his screen and just connect for just a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have that human touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got the touch.
So, yeah. Yeah, cool. So, John, you... Just real quick, you faded away when we were talking before. When was your birthday again? Was it last month, the month before?
When was my birthday?
Yeah. Recently.
Yeah, May 19.
Okay. So like there's so many of us in the sort of general window.
Yeah.
The yeah.
Big 4-0.
Yeah. The big 4-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You've ascended.
Don's oh, yes. 50.
Don yeah, Don is 50.
Yeah, man. I'm never gonna beat.
Yeah,
Don.
I'm gonna
catch up.
Yeah, I'm gonna die first. So I wait a minute.
No, that's not how it works.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. That isn't how it works.
That's not how it works. Okay, what else? Okay, anybody get anything? I got a bunch of stuff, and I don't care to talk about any of it. So
thrilling podcasting, Brian.
I know, right? It's my Donna. It's my applied Donnanomics fail. Like if this massive pre-order hadn't come through, when I was trying to save up for Garden City, I would have had Garden City, but then I decided to give up on Garden City. So Garden City will be later. Yeah. So who wants to go first?
Anybody? I'll go. I got one thing. It's not exciting.
It's so not exciting. Maybe for some.
I got another hot link.
Oh, another one.
Another.
Well, my first one, the chest, was warped. And this one I can see, even though the packaging was a little crushed, I could see the chest was okay.
The little known secret chest warp.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I figured.
Chest masters. But at least in case he's
as rare as everyone says he's going to be. I just happened to walk into the store and it was there.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
I walked in and there were three at my store the other day.
Mine has it.
I haven't.
The last thing I know that Walmart, the ones they all had very crushed packaging, but there was multiples of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the one a few weeks ago. The one case came in that had him and Megatron. There was two cases of that, and then they all sold out. And then the PDQ came in, and there was nothing left after like a day or two. So, at least at my Walmart, when I've gone by, nothing else is. They've been gone. I think even the Megatron, the last Megatron is even
hot
gone now.
Link's gone with the
and
wind.
On the subject of these Netflix things, the last time I was at my Walmart, which was I guess a week ago now, the Ultra Magnus packs had been marked down to under $20.
Oh, wow. Did you see any?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they were on the shelf with $19.69 labels on them.
Jeez. Wow. Because around here,
and I still don't want them.
around here, I think they got marked down to $35 like right away. 35. But I don't know of any Walmarts around here that had them.
Why is that in the Skyfire, the Commander Class Skyfire? Why were they getting marked down so quickly?
Okay, so I have two theories here. So this is not part of the theory, but just something I thought of right now. We'd heard like vague word of mouth that Jetfire might have been a victim of poor timing, because they got that in at the same time they were doing a modular reset. So it basically got taken off of the planogram at the same time it got put on functionally, so it got clearanced out immediately. My first theory is that Walmart just has a thing against carrying Transformers products over $50. So, you know, they'll have them for a little bit, but they want them out of there as quickly as possible. So after 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks tops, it's going to get marked down to clear out, because they know at that point it's not going to sell for full price anymore, and it's just taking up shelf space for stuff they actually could get value out of. That's my first theory.
Which is odd, because I've seen stuff at many Walmarts through the years that was like a first markdown and then never marked down again for just literally sitting on a shelf, on a clearance shelf for 2 or 3 years and never passed the first clearance price.
They like to do that with electronics, I've noticed, because I've gotten like, you go through Walmart and you see like electronics that have been there on clearance for like 10 years and you're like, huh?
Yeah, and like the store manager generally sets the markdown policy for the given store. I used to work at this Walmart here, and the store manager at that time was a notorious tightwad. Now, it worked out in the store's benefit, because his practices made the store the most profitable in the district. So this store would get, you know, first crack at all the desirable stuff, like, you know, hot consoles and, you know, just generally anything that was difficult to get at launch, they would have the most of in the area. But there's been at least 2 store managers there since then, and the markdown policy has gotten a little bit better. So my other theory on this is that the Ultra Magnus pack for this line is just a complete conceptual flop, which, like, wow, big surprise, you've got a $60 product there and you can't even see what's inside it. Its name is not on the package anywhere legible. You know, it's this was a very bad idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that they ever had shelf space for it. Like, when I got mine,
and yours, Walmart, they might not have. But like mine had shelf space and riser space. Brian, I know one of his had that, because he tweeted about a picture even of what, 8 or 10 of them on a riser.
8 of them, yeah.
But no, like within the first week that these were out and in my local store, you know, one of them had been torn open by someone who obviously wanted to see, okay, what the hell is even in this thing, you know? Yeah.
And then they saw it and went, oh, never mind, and put it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I think Chris is right as far as, because when I went back trying to find one of the $35 ones for a friend whose store never got them, I saw the price tag. So I looked under the price tag, and there was an actual shelf tag underneath it. So there was a spot for it because it was a regular tag, but, you know, the clearance price was on top of it, and then that was it. So it's just so weird that the last 2 big exclusives have gone that clearance, which makes me wonder, from now on, if they get a big Transformer clearance item as part of a exclusive, just wait and see if it goes on clearance anymore.
I mean, as like, part of me hates to play that game because it's so easy to lose.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the pattern so far seems to support that concept. Now, remember, we heard a few weeks back about what we think are a subsequent wave of Netflix toys, but they're all deluxes. So we may not see a big thing like this again anytime soon. Now, of course, if they do decide to stock Skylinks in the stores instead of just on the website, that might be your next opportunity to try to wait out a clearance. And in that case, that wouldn't be so dangerous, because even if that doesn't work out for you, there's plenty of other places you could buy that from.
So right, but real quick, playing that game about risking whether or not something is going to still be there on clearance later on, Kim first learned that I really had a toy problem when that G.I. Joe 25th anniversary Arise or Pentor Arise DVD set hit Walmart. And it was the only one I'd ever seen in person. And Kim told me I needed to not worry about it and just leave it. I'm like, okay, I'll come back later when you're not here. And I never saw it again. I actually had to get it on eBay. Yep, it can bite you in the butt. Don, you were about to say something?
I forgot what it was. Must not have been important.
No, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so what, Diecast, anything else other than your hot link?
Nope, that was it.
Who else got anything?
I got nothing Transformers related, but I did pick up some body parts in the mail for Marvel Legends. So I managed to finish my A-Bomb Build-A-Figure.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. It's big.
Yeah, since there's really nothing Transformers that interests me at the moment, I'm just working on completing some Marvel Legends Build-A-Figure. So I've got more mail order body parts on the way. On the way.
So, boy, contacts.
Yeah. So yeah, Apocalypse is my next project. His missing limbs should be in the mail within the next couple days.
I wish I hadn't donated my Sentinel Build-A-Figure. That thing was huge.
Are they coming back out with that?
They're new one. There's a new one coming out, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really wish I was doing Marvel Legends or whatever they were called at the time when they did the Fing Fang Foom. Because I
was that was that an figure. Early one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That thing's huge too.
And that was like a Hulk wave too.
What's cool. It? Well, I don't know.
Primarily.
Who else got anything?
The only thing I got was off topic. I was bored and I went in local GameStop because there was like nobody in there, so I wasn't violating the less than six people rule. And I picked up the, for some reason, I got the Star Wars Heavy Assault Battle Droid because it looked kind of neat. And I picked up the Fantastic Four thing just because it's a really great looking figure. And I'm going to throw the Abomination head parts up on eBay or something. But I didn't want the whole set of Fantastic Four. I just wanted the thing. So I went ahead and got him.
Yeah, I wish so I picked up the Doom when it was still readily available. I've not seen it recently.
Yeah. I mean, I really didn't care about, you know, it's just Fantastic Four does nothing for me. But that thing figure looked really good.
If it wouldn't mess up our call, I would hang up on you right now.
I'm sorry. The only reason I cared about Fantastic Four is they're tangentially related to Power Pack. That's the only reason I care.
God, okay. Who else got anything?
I got something Spidey Wing sent me for my birthday, the Master Grade God Gundam, aka Burning Gundam.
Oh, so, cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's a nice little kit. I haven't put it together yet, but I've been taking a look at it, and it has a full internal frame, which not all Master Grades do, but I think most at this point. Also been a long time since I got any new Master Grades, so I can't say for sure. But yeah, it's a really nice kit. It's something I've been looking at for years, so thank you very much, Spidey.
Cool. Okay, awesome. Is that everybody but me? Okay.
I guess so, because I'm holding out for next week.
Okay. I think I can guess what you're going to have next week, and I'm beyond jealous.
I'm hoping to take the wind out of everybody's sails.
I think I know then.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just do it in order that I can find it. I'm not even going to bother pronouncing any of these names. Don or somebody told me about a pre-order that Big Bad had up for just a bunch of miscellaneous crap. And some of it was Transformers Go, and I missed out on it. I missed out on Transformers Go the first go-around. And even counting mini-cons, there's less than 40 toys in that line. So completing it's not...
Transformers Go is that big?
Yeah, it's like 30 figures, then like seven mini cons or 10 mini cons.
I thought it was a lot smaller than that, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a handful of toys.
It was like six or seven waves. It was a lot of stuff. But I mean, I think there are a lot of repaints in it, though. So I cannot pronounce any of the names for this. It's the Black Lion. I'm not going to try. Keith. All of this stuff, after opening that Optimus Prime, is staying mint in box. All the original molds, because they're crap.
For what it's worth, I understand Optimus X Prime is the worst thing to come out of that line.
Okay.
In terms of the like originally produced stuff for it.
Oh, let's see if I can get the Spanker's box down with one hand without everything falling out. Oh, it's going to tear.
Fail. Fail. Fail.
Yes. Fall. Fall. Okay.
Midsummer. Okay. Midsummer. I'm okay with shouting seasons, I guess.
Okay, so that got bumped that. So... Nemesis Prime, Disney label Mickey Mouse. I don't know why I got it.
Okay, that's random.
I didn't have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. There's more Disney label stuff. Disney label, Donald Duck. Just random stuff I didn't have.
Donald B.
Now, this is awesome. I don't give a crap about Toy Story.
Bumble Duck.
I don't give a crap about Toy Story.
That's right.
But this is awesome.
Oh, the Buzz Lightyear spaceship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super... most of this stuff is going to stay in the box, and that'll probably have to. The three-year-old will steal it if I don't.
Yeah, I was actually tempted by the Solo Jigoku and Toy Story combiner just briefly, but it's like it's too much for what it is.
Here's the standard color of the lion guy. I can never pronounce his name.
Oh, the pirate.
Yeah. Shoot. Okay. That stuff's going to fall. I'll just have to live with it. Because I can live with it.
You can live with it.
There is this guy. Which one is this? Sensenmaru. It's the other leaderish class thing. I literally know nothing about Transformers Go, and I don't really need to know anything.
There is a cartoon.
Yeah. I realized I don't have any. I didn't have any alternative at all. Period. Zilch.
Oh.
Yeah. So I got Optimus Prime. That's my first alternative figure. The Nissan GTR.
Yeah, and that's good because, like, as alternative goes, that mold is like 90% of it.
Yay!
Ultimately,
they just kept repainting it.
Brian, I didn't see. Was it the red one?
Vibrant red is what it's called.
Yeah. That's actually. I really enjoyed most all the alternative stuff, even the Bumblebee and Cliff Jumper.
Yeah, I had alternative Convoy and the Black Megatron, and the Black Megatron I got secondhand. Actually, I got both of them secondhand. The Black Megatron was kind of messed up by the time I got it because it had like a geared auto transformation thing, which didn't work when I had it. But like other than that, between that and the alternators I've handled, the alternatives are a much better experience. Although I never had the Orochi Starscream Seeker body for that, and I understand that's kind of like tragic nightmare to try to get from robot to car mode.
Yeah, it's not good, but you can really see how they were able to work the jet theme into a car with the door wings and everything else. So it visually it pulls it off a lot better than you would think from pictures. But yeah, it's not a fun Transformer, but it looks nice.
So
They turned that Starscream body one too into Bonsaitron, which I always thought looked really good. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah. So in our Discord, tiffradio.net/Discord, we haven't plugged Discord yet. In the chat, this is the best quote. Can I pin this? I'm going to pin this. It says, you know, Brian has a problem when he wants to get all the figures from a series he has neither watched nor knows anything about. Nailed it.
He hates it. He's going to buy it.
That is exactly right. So I love that. So great.
I would love to get some of the Predacon redecos that went into Transformers Go with the alternate robot heads. Because they all look really nice. I just never felt like I could justify, you know, the import prices on those.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Let's see. I got more crap. So other stuff I give not a crap about. I love G.I. Joe, but these 6-inch figures do nothing for me. Not a thing. The Snake Eyes is okay. Scarlet, I'm leaving in the box. I haven't opened it. Duke, I think what I'll probably do with these is if a later wave comes out and I'm actually interested in them, it might encourage me to open them.
And sort of get a Yojo shelf going on.
Yeah, but as is, like the only reason I opened Roadblock is because it came from Amazon opened. Not missing anything. It was just like the tape didn't actually seal the box. It looked like it doesn't look like it'd been messed with. It just looks like the tape didn't do the job. Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't get what they're trying to do with that line. Like,
yeah, me neither.
I don't understand the aesthetic choices. I do like the way the Cobra Commander looks coming out, so I might get him in like a couple of Cobra Troopers eventually. But that's like that's not a line I'm ever gonna go for everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll get Shipwreck. I'm sure they'll get a shipwreck. Yeah. It's just, you know, but like in Transformers, my character choices for Joe are extremely.
Everybody loves Shipwreck. Yeah,
everybody. Yeah. He's everybody's favorite. So the thing with this, we don't know what Hasbro is willing to lose on it before giving up. Because I think this is going to be something where the first few waves are it's either going to ramp up in popularity or it's just going to dwindle and die. I'm thinking,
well, it's G.I. Joe, so you know my guess.
Yeah, so we'll see. So something I ordered last week and sure. I not tested it. I ordered it during the show or at the end of the show. This repro cart of Beast Wars Transmetals.
Oh, yeah.
N64. Have not tried it out yet.
I think you did that in post-show.
Yeah. So I will say this. Obviously, it starts off with a genuine cart. Typically, what they do is they take an existing cart and clean it and relabel it. Like, honestly, if I didn't know that this was a reproduction, I would think this is the real deal. So it's like most of these repro cards are really nice. I have some SNES repro cards, but yeah, it looks great. I can't wait to play it. I'm sure it works. So I just don't
I wonder what the donor was.
It's probably some sports game that no one wanted anymore.
That's probably like fair. It's labeled 96-97 Nintendo. That's the patent on the cart. And Nintendo, if I'm not wrong, manufactured all the cards, so that would make sense. I don't know. I could crack it open and probably figure out, but
that sounds like work.
I mean, N64 carts are pretty easy to open. There's only a couple of screws, and then they hinge otherwise, but who cares? Okay. Last two things I got, two more of the Happy Meal McDonald's toys. So pink and black nice. Bumblebee. It's Bumblebee, yeah.
How's the pink look?
I thought that was Cliff Jumper.
Is it? I go by the feet. It looks like Bumblebee's feet. They look the same. I have to literally have a Bumblebee and a Cliff Jumper beside of each other to look at them to tell the difference.
That was like
the Happy Meal ones really that indistinct?
Dude, I'm not a visual person. I look at it. Hold on. I literally have to look at them side by side to tell the difference. I have to do that sometimes with the Hound and the Gears. Like, have you actually? They're really basic. They're really like super basic.
You mean Brawn and Gears.
Brawn and Gears. What did they say? Hound. Yes, it Hound.
Hound.
Yeah. So, like, I literally have to look at them sometimes side by side just as a...
I don't think I've ever seen those in person, so...
No, it's Bumblebee.
Like, I legitimately don't have a frame of reference for how distinct one body
they look,
type
they look like the Bumblebee and the Cliff Jumper, just looking at them, they are not very distinct, but when you compare them side by side, they're easy to tell apart. But, like, just looking at one, just picking it up... I got to look at it, and I have to look at the feet to tell who it is, and it looks like the bug. So, and yeah, the brawn, red and yellow. So I'm like over halfway now of having all these.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's several on eBay right now.
Did you ever think you would get this far?
Nope. There's like this, how do I say this? The recession has helped because. There was a period that these were going for like ridiculous amounts of money. Now they're going for like a third to a quarter of that. The ones on eBay right now, I already have all of them though, except for one.
Ah.
Yeah.
Was that the melted one?
No. Two. I don't have the melted one and I don't have the one that they're trying to get for $300 that I'm.
Ah.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So I think I have 13 or 14 of them now. We'll see. I think I've got a new source for these things. So.
Nice.
Yeah. What you basically have to do, I think, is look more for Happy Meal collectors than Transformers collectors.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, one thing you were saying when you talk about the G.I. Joes is like, if Siege Transformers is a success, do you think we'll see a G.I. Joe series?
What do you mean? Like the War for Cybertron?
The cartoon. Yeah, the cartoon. You know, if the cartoon is successful... You know, I'm just wondering if maybe that would be a way.
I think the toy line is successful, that would be more in favor of a new series than the War for Cybertron series.
It just seems like it'd be a way for them to get media out, and they can do a more adult.
Oh, please, no more adult G.I. Joe.
I know, but I'm looking at it from their standpoint. It's like we're going with the adult collector in this G.I. Joe Black
I
do too.
Resolute, I think at the time it was cool and everything, and
it was never cool.
But I think now people recognize that it was really bad. But like G.I. Joe, the comic was mature enough without shoving it down your throat.
Right. I'm just saying, looking at it from how they might look at it, to get a more adult-ish G.I. Joe to target the collectors that the line is made for. I was just thinking maybe. That because that would be the reverse of what happened in 84. Joe had the successful cartoon, the comic came out, and then they copied that for Transformers. So it could be the reversal.
I think the target audience for this toy line is the 45-year-olds on the internet who have been sitting griping about there not being any G.I. Joe product for the last 5 to 10 years, and they already know that this is happening. So I think they've hit their goal.
And I'll be honest with you, God, and I want to sound like a horrible person saying this.
What else is new?
I know. There's enough G.I. Joe fiction.
Yeah.
The Marvel comic exists. There will never be better fiction than that, probably. We don't need
it. And it's still going on, so.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You also have G.I. Joe versus the Transformers.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be fine just saying, G.I. Joe, you can rest now. You've been your time is done. I don't know. But Transformers,
that'll do, Pig. That'll do.
That'll do. I'm kind of there with Transformers.
I've been thinking that. It's okay. G.I. Joe was just in a coma.
Yeah. It's going to be okay. I would be fine if there was no new Transformers fiction. Back when.
We're getting close to the point where, like, in a practical sense, you know, they kind of hit a wall with that anyway. Cyberverse. Honestly, I've watched a lot of Cyberverse, and what it was doing was the right thing, I think, being largely episodic and, you know, lighthearted. And the first season, a lot of the first season, too, spent its time doing universe building in general, which, you know, for the, like, flashback framing device, they worked with that really well in having just Bumblebee and Windblade technically be the main characters for that whole season. Before expanding it out with the second season, like, Cyberverse is a good model for what Transformers fiction probably needs to be for a while, which is really accessible, low stakes, and little to no overarching plot threads.
Yeah.
Like, just let anybody jump in at any point in a given season and be able to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if only Hasbro had their own television network that they could put all this stuff on.
That was a bad idea.
Yes, that would solve all of our problems, yeah. Wouldn't it?
That failed once. It fell again.
But like when it comes to
it wasn't fiction, a failure. It just wasn't a critical success. It's a difference.
There's so much Transformers fiction out there. I know that they want it. They don't. But the thing is, the toys now sell the fiction and not the other way around.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? They wagged the dog. It just doesn't make sense. You don't Transformers. There's a rich amount of fiction that not. So many people haven't read it all. Just go back and sell old DVDs. You're fine.
It's funny, too, like how Transformers in development terms has come full circle. Like, originally, the toys were the starting point, and all the media was made based on the toys.
It.
So
yeah.
So the discrepancies between what the cartoon looked like and the toy you buy is the fault of the cartoon, not the toy.
Yeah.
Then we went through a period where, okay, now we're kind of leading with the media or co-developing it where they should be much closer together, or, you know, if the toy is not matching what you see on the screen, it's because we couldn't replicate that in the toy. And now we're back again to forgetting the toys way in advance, and like the Netflix cartoon is all trying to pattern itself based on the toys that were made, and the comics are doing the same thing again. So it's really interesting how over all these years, it's just like gone right back to where it started from.
Yeah. I just think back to when I would really got back into the Transformers fandom. We had Beast Wars and we had fan fiction. That was what we had. And
there was some good fan fiction out there too. I remember.
Yeah. We were in, it was good. I was fine with that.
Is there still fan fiction that died?
I think it's a lot less prevalent.
I think in the Transformers community, it's less prevalent because, again, there's so much stuff.
I think that's what Diecast was actually asking.
In general, I think it's probably way bigger now than it's ever been because there's more people on the internet to write it.
Right. Well, also, you're looking at the fact is that without Cyberverse, you really don't. The one thing of when you write fanfic is that there must be a perceived imbalance in the show, a missed opportunity, or something that you as the author feels needs to be addressed or corrected.
G1 gave you a lot of that.
Right.
That's true.
I'm also saying, a 20-year gap to fill in.
Right.
Yeah.
But as a former writer, I'm just saying that
accomplished
without a current series to draw from or things that you need to address as a writer. Because when you're writing and you see this, you get this urge like, I need to fix this, even if only for myself. And without a current series, you're not going to see a lot of the stuff coming up because there's nothing to fix without going back and looking at stuff from the past. Which, let's look at the 20-year gap between Bot and the movie. You can write an infinite number of stories, but how many of them are going to be very similar across the board? So that's why you're not getting that same...
Like most of season two, honestly.
Yeah.
Hey. Season two is the best season. But
anyway, speaking of Bot...
But again, that's
yes,
just...
Yes, okay.
That's my
fault. Let's move around. So I'm gonna.
Yeah, that's a Don deal, Don.
Yeah, I'm going to go out of order. I'm going to do... So lots of news happened today.
We already alluded to the Fan First Friday coming up. We don't need to go into that as a topic, but like, you know, be on the lookout Friday afternoon-ish after that happens. We'll have a news desk recapping, kind of wrapping up whatever gets revealed on Friday.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump out of order since I think Chris is sort of referencing some of his fanciful ideas that I endorse.
we have possibly get revealed on Friday.
Yeah, no, we have something called the Transformers G1 Red, actually not even necessarily G1, but the Red toy line. Think Black Series. But this is what the robots enhanced design or some dumb acronym.
Something like that.
It's a backronym. Yeah. Basically, they forced an acronym. So
yeah, Hasbro lately has been basically like 2003, 2004 era Bandai.
Yeah,
I hate this.
Yeah, me too. Well, I don't hate the idea. I hate the execution.
Yeah, the execution for sure, because, you know, like for at least the first half of a year this exists, we're just getting the, you know, core G1. We're not going to get anything that could really utilize this format. So these are non-transforming action figures.
6-inch figures.
Detailed.
It's Black Series Action Masters.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's based as closely on the G1 animation
models.
There's
no love in them, though, like with Action Masters. Action Masters had character. These are dead.
These have articulation.
Yeah, I don't know why I hate them as much as I do.
Because they're pointless.
They're not exactly
like the Megatron.
Yeah, they're not.
I mean, if
there's no, if there's no, there's no flair to it. Like when at least when they do a new series, they have like a design aesthetic that they try to hit. But this is kind of like it's not quite animation. It's not quite. It's not toy. It's like I don't know what in the hell it is. And
it would be, I feel like it would be animation if they had just made Optimus Prime's windows opaque.
Yeah,
like
Megatron is closer. Optimus is not. Yeah.
I feel like a bunch of kids are going to buy these and then get them home and be like, why doesn't it transform?
And honestly,
I feel like no child is ever going to want to touch these and won't.
Yeah.
Honestly,
well, I don't think any collector is going to either.
Yeah.
Well, that is the question.
I don't like the looks of them. So, but like, I like the look of Earthrise Optimus in robot mode better than the Optimus here. And I definitely like the version. I like the look of Netflix Megatron more than the Megatron here.
I have seen a couple of comments of people that are actually excited about this.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah. I don't understand it, but I have seen
it. I like the...
Yeah, this is a line that I'm not going to collect, though. I don't need this.
I have a theory about this, though, generally speaking, I don't think it's a shock, but these cost the same as a deluxe Transformer. They're way less engineering involved. So much less engineering involved. So the profit margin...
Higher profit margin.
Profit margin has to be higher. This may be not the new Transformers that we have going forward, but it may be a higher percentage of it than you might like to think. So,
and
I hope you're wrong.
So, like,
me too.
There's definitely ways that a line like this can work in the favor of, you know, collectors like us who want, you know, just the traditional kind of Transformers toys, because there's, you know, cartoon characters that never had alt modes or at least seldom transformed on screen. You know, on Twitter, I was putting out there, like, DevCon would be good for this. Yeah. Alpha Trion would fit.
Grimlock.
Bot. We would get our first Bot toy.
Yeah, somebody threw Autobot Spike out there.
Yeah,
that
was a really good idea.
I was just going to say.
But those characters, they're going to focus on the iconic characters to begin with. If it's like Marvel Legends, they'll eventually potentially get to obscure stuff in Star Wars. But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And we may never get there because I don't think this line is going to hang on.
Yeah. I agree.
This line will fail before we get there.
Yeah. Brian, there's one thing I would like to bring up. And again, get your drinking game ready because I'm going to mention an online reviewer. Bobby Skullface has looked at the... That's what I said.
I know.
He has looked at... I know. He has looked at the SH Figure Art Star Wars versus the Black Series.
Okay.
And he has commented on how much the Black Series has increased in quality over the years to the point where people that want a representation on the shelf, if you're looking at paying $70 to $90 for a Figure Art Star Wars figure versus a Black Series $20 to $25 figure, when in some cases you get definite advantages in the Black Series, other than just cost difference.
Do people
that would be good enough? That would be good enough for this for the shelf.
I don't think I'm a normal collector when it comes to stuff like this. Do collectors make trade-off decisions as to whether or not they want the Black Series or the Figure Arts? I think people either want Figure Arts or they want Black Series.
Well, I think it depends on the character because it's like, do you want this character because you love this character, or are you going to buy it just to have it as that spot? Like if you're doing a cantina scene, it's a character you don't care about, but you need them in the scene to complete the diorama.
I don't do that at all. Stuff goes in a box once I've opened it.
Right. But I'm just saying, I think he did hit on something there with a lot of collectors will look at between the two, depending on what they're looking for and the price. I'm saying that maybe Hasbro has looked at the Reveltech Optimus and these other licensed products, and they're trying to draw that back. Again, this is nowhere near a Reveltech. We know that.
And they didn't say that was a bad idea?
But I'm just saying that they're looking at trying to find a way to get into this posable action figure Transformer that is popular with like the Reveltech stuff, but under more their control at a lower price point to increase sales. So I'm thinking that could be what we're looking at as well.
I have a feeling, Don, that the rationale behind this is a lot closer to we have successful 6-inch figure lines for basically every other adult collector property we do. We should have one for this too.
Because I seriously doubt the Transformers design team had this idea.
No, I guarantee it's something separate. Maybe not the design team. The brand team probably had the idea, and it's being executed by other people.
Probably.
So in the chat, Rodimus Supreme is basically the age-old argument that Transformers transform, you know, full stop, and I disagree. I love Action Masters, and there's a lot of Transformers that don't transform. But I get it. I understand why people wouldn't want these.
But I think one thing that we've not looked at or we're forgetting is it's not 1988 anymore. Action Masters are not this weird little thing that nobody likes.
Action Masters were toys. This is trying to be a collector's line.
Right. But what I'm saying is that the idea of having a robot better represented in the robot mode versus an alt mode, it's like that's why we have the Flame Toy stuff. That's why we have that Flame Toys Tarn.
I'm pretty sure Action Masters was another cost savings effort more than anything.
Masters came at the end of an already dying line.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is it's now more accepted by a lot of collectors that if it's a character they like or the alt mode is not important. They want the best representation of the character in the robot mode.
I don't disagree, Don. I think you're right.
These aren't them, but I'm just saying it's now more accepted to have a non-transforming Transformer because your character, let's say, I'm not trying to get off a tangent, it's just something I've been thinking of.
These things don't have Master partners, so they don't count.
Yeah.
They really should.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah. You know,
this is the fans toys grinder, the one I picked up a few weeks ago.
Hoagies and grinders, navy beans, meatball sandwich. Sloppy Joe.
Anyway, let's say this doesn't transform, but it's a very good visual representation of Grimlock. there are people out there that wouldn't care that he couldn't get into Tyrannosaurus Rex mode if this was the best representation they could get of a character they loved. And I think that's just now more acceptable to have a non-transforming character because you're getting a better representation.
For a subset of an already limited fandom.
This is not a better representation to me, though. I agree with Brian, the fact that, you know, I like my Siege Optimus Prime a lot better than this.
This is
so...
also Wave 1.
I think there might be another
wave.
I think there might be another aspect of this, too, which is, as adult collectors, like, even just within our group here, how many of you actually, like, get your toys off the shelf and transform them and, you know, do anything with them other than, you know, have them sitting there on display as they're in robot mode as a, you know, static collection?
Rarely.
I barely do.
Randomly, but I do.
Yeah, and everything takes up less space on a shelf in robot mode.
Yeah, so I think a real motivation for this from Hasbro's side is realizing that's probably the case with collectors in this age bracket and thinking, you know, we can do this, we can give you these robot representations that are very accurate to the cartoon, which, as we all know, is the holy writ for John Warden and company.
And not have to compromise them for transformation purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. like, that's basically what they're offering with this, at least to part of the collector base. You know, here is your quote-unquote idealized representation of these characters as they appeared in the cartoon, and they can stand on your shelf as robots just as well as any of the other toys we produce. They're just as poseable. They have accessories. You know, it's another way to go about that and not have to, it, you know, at the higher profit margin, and it still has, it has the appeal to what the end result of a normal Transformers collection is going to be anyway for the majority of people.
Yeah, another thing, though, at TFU Info, of course, messaged me this earlier, and I completely forgot. He had some speculation. So his thought was, if Studio Series moves to the Transformers the Movie time period, and if Generations focuses more, hopefully, praying it does, Beast Wars, this line at least would be...
Yeah, I need to save money.
Yes, this line at least would be the way to get those 1984, 1985 characters on the shelves to satisfy people during that period.
And to satisfy the legal department who wants to make sure the copyrights are upheld.
Yeah.
It's
entirely possible. I mean, I don't know that there's a... I don't know that we have enough information to say that is evidence, but it's another piece to the puzzle, potentially.
Yeah.
And that puzzle is still being revealed. So, it's possible. It's interesting speculation.
Today they showed us Optimus Prime and Megatron. We had pictures of those. In Walmart's inventory data, several more entries were found that appear to correspond to this. So, we already know that it's not going to be just the core G1 characters. The first thing on this list is Transformers Prime RC. I would like to see that.
Yeah.
I want to say that's like an easy thing to adapt and kind of fits for this line. The Transformers Prime aesthetic in general would really favor a non-transforming action figure line because, you know, there's CG models that were never designed with actual transformations in mind. At least some of the Beast Wars designs, you know, you can kind of see how that would work, even though it's all magic through the animation regardless, especially Dinobot. But also on here in the same UPC block is Cheetor. And this is definitely separate from the supposed Netflix Cheetor that we learned about several weeks ago. So it looks like Cheetor is going to have a big merchandising push. There's Soundwave, which we heard about through the initial rumor of the Transformers Red series. The first two things we heard of were Megatron and Soundwave. And then there's, at the very bottom, Transformers Generations Red B, which I'm assuming is, you know, Red Series Bumblebee and not a Red Bumblebee like the Masterpiece. Yeah. So, I mean, we're definitely getting a degree of character variety relatively early in this process. So it's not quite as bad as, you know, what we would typically expect from a just starting out new branch of the toy line.
I think this would have been a little bit better, too, if maybe they didn't try and squeeze it into a 6-inch figure size like everything else, like your Marvel Legends and your Star Wars.
That's exactly why they're doing it, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just thinking, I would like my Transformers figures to be a little bit bigger. And I'm not
saying... But then they'd have to cost more.
Right. But yes. I'd be okay with that. Like maybe a $30 price point and increase them.
Well, there's $30 Marvel Legends sometimes that were previously Build-A-Figures.
Yeah. And I mean, think about the future here. If they keep these at a base $20 6-inch scale, then we can get larger characters at $30 or higher if we absolutely...
Or smaller characters at $20.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think that because they basically this 6-inch box that they're in, they can use similar production methods, similar printing.
Identical methods.
So you've got economies of scale, which leads back to what Chris was saying about the increased profits, because they're already in this
world. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that at all. I understand all of that. The thing is, I'm just saying I would have liked them to been a little bit bigger for me to like maybe say, maybe I should, purchase some of these. I would have liked them at least at the $30 price point and the $30 price point size. And then, if they have a bigger one, do a $40 price point. I would have rather been in that upper echelon pricing than shoehorning
big money diecast wants to spend more money.
Well, what else is new? But, at the 6-inch level, though, things like an Alpha Trion or an Autobot Spike in that general size range would mix just fine with your Generations toys.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with 6-inch. They fit nice on the shelf. You can fit a lot on the shelf.
They'll be fine for what they are.
Yeah.
Think we would probably actually kind of lose out in some ways if they were trying to make them bigger, because they would probably not up the complexity of them in any way. So they would not feel like they're $30 quality just because they're bigger. In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so moving on, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Studio Series 65, Blitzwing. So for those folks on video are looking at our pals at Unicron.com, the news, Twitter. So I really like the way it looks.
Something looks different. What's
the deco different? Has changed a little bit since the initial promo renders.
Oh, okay.
Now, in jet mode, it's actually to the benefit, because the initial promo renders represented the plastic color layout correctly. And so there was some dark gray plastic mixed in near the cockpit and nose cone section. They've evened that out with some dark gray paint app, so it kind of blends together a little bit better. We're kind of getting our first really good look at the jet mode here, though. And in the movie, Blitzwing was supposed to be an F4 Phantom 2, and this is definitely not. This is not anything remotely like an F4. It's the jet mode's kind of a mess. So I think either what happened here is that they either could not or were not inclined to get actual likeness rights for the F4 Phantom. Or to get the robot mode to look the way it does, they kind of had to make the jet mode be more of a sacrifice. People are saying the robot's head color has also changed between examples. I didn't study for that difference. The robot mode, I think, still looks fine either way. The jet mode, I'm very, very unimpressed with at this point. Not because it's not accurate to the movie, just because what we've ended up with doesn't look swell.
It's a box with wings.
Yeah, I mean, in that respect, we have to admit, it's a lot more like G1 Blitzwing.
I don't know. I like it. I think it looks pretty good.
I'm still getting it. It's not quite as appealing as it started out.
Even the Bumblebee stuff, I'm not really super into when it comes to the designs, but this one works for me, so.
It would have been nice to have a large F4 Phantom Transformer. Like, I'm all about getting unusual or new to the brand alt modes, but like we were talking about before, the toy designs come well in advance of what the movie is designed to do. So it could even be that at the time they were making this toy, they hadn't decided that in the movie he was going to be that jet mode, especially since he probably wasn't even going to be Blitzwing at that point.
I just wonder if this is one of those molds where the paint layout could make a lot of difference. We've seen bad molds or unimpressive molds with a different or a better paint job that really help a lot. So I'm just wondering if
more or different paint probably would have some effect on this. Like I was saying before, they added some dark gray paint up toward the front to integrate the varied plastic colors with each other a little bit better. So that doesn't stand out as much. But, you know, that probably took up quite a bit of what they could do with the rest of the toy. I think you would need, like, a really heavy, heavy deco job on this, like, on par with what some of the Netflix stuff looks like it's getting, to really see the kind of benefit you're looking for. Which, you know, maybe at some point in the future, something like that would happen.
Cool.
Yeah, the head and jet mode are definitely different.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure there'll be third-party head replacements and stuff like that if it's that big of a palette swap.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got...
Well, they have a third-party alt mode replacement set.
So we got news this week that War for Cybertron Siege starts on July 30th.
Yeah, so when we talked about this the last time... we didn't have a date then, and I was saying, like, I think it will be August when it premieres, and I was just about right. I was, like, you know, a week late for where it's actually ending up, so it's good for me.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah.
So, I think so?
The voice work, not saying the voice, I think it's directing probably more than anything. There's no life to the voice acting.
That's probably a directing problem.
There's no emotion in it. And I don't know. I wasn't excited about it. It looks nice. It looks a lot better than the stuff that we've gotten before.
Yeah, I think it sounds better than the Prime Wars cartoon.
Yeah.
I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, it's not choppy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what Brandon Easton is writing it.
Brandon Easton, I believe FJ DeSanto and George Kurstick again, who two out of three of whom worked on the Prime Wars trilogy.
Yeah. But
don't hold that against them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. George also wrote and created Megas XLR, so he gets a pass for life.
That's what I'm saying. Don't hold the Prime Wars trilogy against them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only thing is that nothing against the voice director, whoever this is, but unless it was so far out of budget, we've seen much better voice work lately lot of different.
It's a non-union gig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, even if, you know, I know
that,
Andrea.
That changes who you have access to if you opt to not go for the union stuff.
Yeah, and Cyberverse was also non-union, and, you know, its voice work could have been better. It was not terrible, but it could have been better.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give it a shot.
I just want Andre Romano on everything. I'm sorry. I just want her on everything.
I really like, though, that this doesn't have, like, the quote-unquote influencers on it. It seems to be, like, people who are actual real voices.
It doesn't have stunt casting.
Yeah, casting is exactly right. It has people who really do voice work, and that's good. So that's why I'm not knocking the voices. I'm knocking the direction, at least of what I've heard so far. Maybe it gets better.
Yeah, I mean, well, think about Transformers Energon. I'm sorry, but you'll have to just bear with this for a minute. Like, if you have any familiarity with the Ocean Group's general output, like, you know those people are good voice actors. Transformers Energon was a terrible dub.
Yeah.
But it's not the actor's fault. It was, you know, the directing, the production. There is, it's also like the script writing where I think they were finishing scripts as they were shooting episodes or recording dialogue for episodes. But, like, you know, what the voice actors are not the be-all end-all of what the output product is.
Yeah,
a good
exactly.
director can get a good performance out of a lot of different kinds of voice actors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. So July 30th. Let's see here. That's a month away. What else? So Back to the Future crossover, 35th anniversary. That was announced today on the Transformers Instagram. And that came as a shock because that's like been part of the Transformers fan consciousness for 30 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen people throwing some wonderful potential names around for this thing.
Yeah, like I have a Transformers Back to the Future shirt crossover that came in a loot crate. There have been so many customs over the years. It just makes sense, and I really hope it's Astro Train.
Hey, stop stealing my idea.
I know, Back to the Future 3 is the best Back to the Future. It's the best one. So hopefully it'll be, I know that's sacrilege to some people, but I really like Back to the Future 3.
Good movie.
Yeah. So,
I was reminded earlier today that Amazon at one point had put up a product page for something they were calling Project Future Deluxe, which, given this context, might indicate, you know, Back to the Future DeLorean.
It's got to be, if it's the DeLorean to fit in with everything else, I think it's got to be a deluxe. And they're not going to do like a
Electrotron kind of thing.
Electrotron's Voyager already, though, and that made sense. But they're not going to make a coupe or a sedan into a Voyager class figure.
Okay, so the thing about Ectotron, they used the engineering, some of the engineering from a Voyager figure, but they definitely designed that to try to fit in with masterpiece size toys.
Mm-hmm.
That's my concern. This hypothetical, theoretical, whatever DeLorean Transformer would also be made to try to match the size of masterpiece Autobot cars, where then it would not fit in with, normal Deluxes and Voyagers. It would be in that awkward in-between area. That's why I'm hoping this Amazon Project Future or whatever is referencing this, and calling it a Deluxe means it will be a more standard toy.
Yeah.
I think one reason Ectotron was trying to be masterpiece scale-ish was because of Ecto 35 Optimus coming out right afterward. If there's not an analogous thing for the Back to the Future collaboration, then they might keep that in the normal generation scale.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is I was shocked, like I was struck by lightning at 1.21 gigawatts.
Gigawatts.
Gigawatts. I thought it was gigawatts.
And 1.21.
Part of that wrong.
I would go on the other side of this, saying that I think this could be a completely new mold. It'll fit in with the scale of the Ectotron, and that Ectotron was the proof of concept used for, you know, they used a pre-existing mold, even though they retooled it a lot, where this could be something, now that they proved it can work, this could be something completely new. We still don't know if the if the Top Gun jet that they're doing the crossover with, if that's a new mold or if that's remolded off of something else. Is there any Voyager cars that they could, you know, remold into this?
Not really, but like, you have to think more outside the box than that.
Because base mold was, of course, a truck originally.
Yeah, it was a fire truck or a mobile artillery piece. And you don't want to think about Ectotron as being a retool of Hotspot. It's reusing the engineering, and it has a few similar parts, but a lot of it is brand new, and the way the parts work together is different than on Hotspot or Onslaught. So it's really more fair to say that we can expect these collaborative crossovers to utilize already developed engineering to some degree, but it's not necessarily a one-to-one thing where, okay, they made this toy out of this mold with some different parts thrown in. It's kind of the gray area we're in with the language at this point because of how the processes have changed over a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah.
With Ectotron too, they had to, you know, a hearse is a long vehicle, so they had to use something that they could get the proper vehicle length out of, which is, you know, I'm sure why they went with the Hotspot, you know, mold family to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, the car shape is something you gotta be looking at here, and I think basic like dimensions, you're probably looking at a Prowl smokescreen Blue Streak retool of some form.
I mean, I'm just looking at, like,
I was thinking maybe Sideswipe.
I've hoisted in my hand, and I just want something a little bit bigger than a Deluxe for this crossover. I want it to do more. I want the wheels to be able to rotate you know, like that, so you can do the sort of spaceship mode or whatever you're going to call it, the flying car mode.
Even if it's a deluxe mold that they start with, it could still be like Ectotron, where they add enough more to it and the price point goes up some, where they will be able to have a greater degree of features than another toy of the deluxe scale. So it may still be a little bit smaller than what you're wanting, but it may be more featured than an average deluxe.
That would be okay. I think I just want it a little bit bigger is what I really think.
Yeah, for a lot of collectors, I think some of the stuff falling into the Masterpiece car scale is just fine. I'm personally against that because I don't really enjoy collecting Masterpiece.
Yeah.
Don, what were you going to say?
Same. Yeah, I was going to ask y'all this. Do y'all think that maybe once we get these crossover molds, we're not going to see them reused because it could be the situation like with AVO Swerve, where the rights to the car or the rights to...
I think it's licensing fees more than anything.
Okay, so you don't think it's going to be another...
It's not like they don't have the rights to it. They just don't want to pay the money to pay for the license. They still own it. They just can't use it because...
And after what happened with the toys from the 2007 movie, where the way they made those agreements with Paramount really limited their options for reusing those molds without paying fees to the studio. I imagine Hasbro has been a lot more careful since then in how they're making these agreements so that they can get reusability out of this. The Aveo Swerve was a really special case because Hasbro was trying to, you know, sweeten their relationship with Chevrolet to begin with. Chevrolet came to them and wanted, a promotional exclusive item. So that was a very, very unique situation and how that worked out and how that Swerve never got reused or released again in any other capacity. Right. I don't think we would see something quite like that happen again.
Right. I just didn't know that, how that, because I was seeing shades of similarity there that maybe they're getting promotion off of this, but they don't want Hasbro or Takara to be using this mold anymore, and they want the rights to it.
John, who of course was a licensee of Hasbro, and he has been involved in contracts for licenses and such, just pointed out contracts can be written a million different ways. But it's not uncommon for the licensor to own the design. So it's possible that Hasbro couldn't use it because they don't own it. So who knows?
I would assume that if I had the license for Back to the Future, that if I was going to let Hasbro use it, there would be a specified time period in which they
could make it. Almost certainly.
And that fact alone, too, may be why Ectotron reused as much as it did conceptually and engineering-wise from Hotspot and Onslaught to minimize how much Hasbro was having to put in new on something that they knew going in they would not ever get to use again and make more money back off of.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hey,
so a couple things. We've got some more news to get into. There's a lot today. at least one thing ended up being... after that Back to the Future crossover popped up, there was a Transformers Ninja Turtle crossover that ended up being a hoax, a fan.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, fan manipulation. So something else that popped up today, and we haven't talked about it, and I almost put it in the show notes, and I left it out. Paladin put it in our Discord. That Generation Selects IDW Centurion as a Brunt redeco. Mm-hmm. Do we have any thoughts around that?
I've examined the photo, and it does not look like it's painted. So if those are actual plastic colors, this is a for real thing.
Hmm. So what is this again?
Okay, so Brunt's robot mode was heavily based on the design of a Centurion droid as seen in one of the IDW Volume 1 comics from the Stormbringer miniseries, I believe. Right from the start of seeing Brunt, a lot of us were saying, like, okay, when's the gray or silver Centurion redeco going to come out? Because, you know, troop building. And it's taken a little while, but it looks like it might be happening if this is not a custom. I don't think it's a custom. Because, like, if you think about what gray paint on plastic looks like versus just flat gray plastic. You know, they're very, very different finishes, and this really, to my eye, looks like gray plastic.
So TF Fan Page 101 in our Discord shared a photo. Let me put it.
Oh yeah, that's the comic panel that everybody worked off of when Brent was revealed.
Yeah, and you can definitely see it. If this
is an upcoming generation selects, I'll troop build them.
Yeah,
I'll get like three. I don't even like the Brunt mold that much, but yeah, I'll get a few of them.
Let's see here. So one thing I don't have any photos on, but our buddy Rick Alvarez had noted that there's another Earthrise Skywarp variation. This is what I'm interested in. We don't know any more details. I don't know how prevalent this is, how many there are out there in the wild, but there is one that does not include the screaming face, which makes me happy.
The Dulcer Prize face,
because we had hoped that that would be like the Starscream coronation, Ghost Starscream or Death of Starscream potential. Like, we have this alternate universe, Optimus Prime, so why not a Starscream that's dying in horrendous pain? So if that wasn't intended to be the final mold for Skywarp, that would be great. So when you're out looking, keep checking Brickseek. Decatur, Georgia is the closest location that I have right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, according to Brickseek or according to Target.com. So
interesting.
Yeah, so I want it, but we have that. We have the package variation, and I'll buy it, even though it's stupid.
Oh, no, that's Decatur, Illinois.
Decatur, Illinois. Okay. So that's about twice as far.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, one thing I wanted to add when we got to this in the show topic, I did stop by my Target today and I talked with the young lady that runs toys. She knows me, and I've always tried to be a polite collector. I didn't want to be one of those kind of collectors. And we all know who, you know, we've all seen that in situations. I'm saying every collector fandom has those kind of people that, you know, just jerks.
I think people that work at toys probably just lump us all together, except for Hot Wheels. Except for Hot Wheels. Well,
all of us except for Don. They don't lump Don in because Don is Don.
And that's why I try to make sure that I don't ever get to be that kind of person, because I don't want to cast the bad aspirations on the collector community. But I asked her, and she said, what usually happens is there's not, when you go to Target.com to get something, it'll bounce from store to store to store, trying to find a store that has it in stock to send it from the store. She didn't know how many times it bounced before it says, okay, no one has it, cancel the order. And she was thinking that, because I told her what was going on the website, and I said, do you have any idea when it's actually, you know, I'm saying, if you've dealt with the website or you've had to talk to them before on other things. And she said that she hasn't dealt with the website directly, but that's what it does is based on where you're at, it bounces around trying to fill the order. And then at a certain point, it just says, oh, well, you're screwed. So that could be a problem, is that some places there's nowhere within a reasonable vicinity to pull one from to ship, which is why they're either showing in stock, but they don't actually exist. And I've seen some people that did have one in their cart, and then when they got to checkout, it was gone. And that could be the system thought it was in stock, but again, she's saying just based on what little she's seen from her viewpoint. But I just wanted to bring that up as a possible reason for the frustration is, it's just some own handy issues, and it's not searching all the stores. It's just searching a certain number of stores.
Okay.
So right now, as far as we can tell, the distribution centers for the Southeast United States, the East Coast, New England, just have not received these or been able to pass them through to the stores yet. So if you're still waiting to try to get one of these and you're in the eastern half of the country, like, don't worry that you've missed out on them at this point. Like, your store is still probably going to get them if they're going to get them at all, because occasionally individual locations will skip exclusives for, you know, whatever reasons. But, like, they're still coming, so don't go to the scalpers yet.
And Don, I'm not going to say that, and I don't know, but I just want to add a disclaimer to what your target person said. I need to be tread carefully on this, but working retail myself for 16 years in a corporate capacity, there were a lot of experts in the stores who would tell you how things actually worked that were exactly completely and totally wrong.
Right.
And actually have no idea how things work, but they want you to know how they think it works. So that doesn't sound like my understanding of how Target.com works, but it's possible.
Right. I just wanted to bring that up. Is I did speak with her. She said that's what she's run into in the past. And I just wanted to pass that along to maybe try to ease some of the frustrations, if possibly.
Your Target will get it. Just wait.
Yeah.
You'll be able to get this if you want it eventually. Is basically
and
the way
most likely Target.com will have it available for purchase and shipping again. Right now, as of recording today, it's marked on Target.com as not available or not eligible for shipping, however they word it, as opposed to just being out of stock. But it will probably come back in on the website as well.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay, so
I missed it. Was it actually in stock on the website at one point?
There was a couple instances where it was available to put in your cart for about a minute each time. But I'm really thinking that was a case of mistakenly activating the in-stock status. I don't think anybody actually was able to buy one.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. Still,
I haven't seen anybody mention they got one.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was a couple days ago. They probably wouldn't have gotten it yet. And honestly, the person who got it may not be on the internet or part of the fandom. There's a whole...
Yeah, I was going to say, if they got off the website, they would have had been on the internet.
They're on the internet, but there's a lot of people out there who just don't interact.
I kind of envy them.
Yeah. Yep, they're the smart ones.
So okay. Anyway, moving on in the news.
So please. Two more items to get through. So Transformers Cross Quicks. So it's a Soundwave vinyl bust that is available pre-order. A lot of people dig this thing.
I kind of like it. I don't want to own it, but I kind of like it.
It's not, yeah, it looks pretty nice, actually. It's just not my thing.
I don't want it.
Me neither. I don't want it. But it does.
Oh, I just saw it price. I don't want it. I don't want it.
How much is it?
$250, isn't it?
Yeah, $249.
$2.50. That's overpriced.
Okay.
It includes free shipping.
Yeah, not my thing.
I should hope so.
But people who like this like it. So there you go.
I mean, you're in the realm of statue-like things. This is one of the good ones.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm never going to be that kind of collector.
Nope.
Same.
So also up for... Do we have a better link for this? I thought I did. 1 second. So the Fans Hobbies Machine Eagle test shot is out. And people are sharing it. Man, I thought I had a better link than this. I was showing a better version of this in the show notes. Thing's gorgeous. It is Machine Wars Optimus Prime, of course, based off of the Lightning Eagle, which was the Thunder Clash. And while I'll just say that it's really nice looking. And it hits the right spot because I have a real soft spot in my heart for Machine Wars. I don't guess I'm gonna get it. I would be much more convinced to get this than the Thunder Eagle or whatever the heck it's called, the Power Master Prime, because we'll probably eventually get a real Power Master Prime masterpiece. It may take 10 years, but we'll probably get one. We'll never get Machine Wars.
And it'll cost $850.
Oh yeah, it'll be $10,000 by that point.
And that'll be just the cab. The trailer will be a separate release.
Yeah, if you're watching the video, earlier in pre-show I shared photos of this. I think it was on Big Bad, maybe in robot mode. But thing's gorgeous, and I really do dig it. And it comes with both faces. So where Machine Wars Optimus Prime did not have the faceplate, of course, because it was based on Thunder Clash, this offers both the faceplate and the correct face plateless option. So yeah,
do you think Hasbro would make us an official Thunder Clash toy if they realized you could repaint it as Optimus Prime?
That's a good question, actually.
That's a very good question.
Fascinating question. You know,
my fear with a Generations Thunderclash or equivalent is just that, like, they think they've got the gold plastic problem licked, but
paint.
We're never going to know that for sure. That'd be a lot of paint on potentially moving parts, which is a problem, theoretically.
Yeah.
Also, if some of the gold would have to fall on unpaintable plastic sprues, it wouldn't even be able to be gold looking. It would be that lovely earwax color that we were talking about, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the butterscotch.
So I just pulled down my Thunderclash.
I'm willing to make some sacrifices to actually get a Thunderclash.
I just put down my Thunderclash box, and I think you could get by with paint on most of this. I don't.
Or if they just like abandoned the gold plastic entirely and went with the butterscotch color uniformly across the toy and not mix and match it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Thunderclash.
With the team, with the Transformers team as it is right now, I really fear they would try to put gold plastic in as much as possible.
You're
and
right.
I don't trust their current formulation of gold plastic because it's not old enough yet to actually know if it's going to survive.
Yeah.
I will probably never trust gold plastic, and there's
never trust a gold plastic, and never will.
Never trust again.
So, yeah, I don't know. But it's a fascinating question. Obviously, the people who are there are experts. They know who Thunderclash is. They know Machine Wars Optimus Prime. It's probably on their list. So, whatever generations 2028, 2029, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. God, I want this. I need. I did buy something during the show. I didn't mention it. Oh, you can take a drink. If you want to. Yeah. I bought myself a second Ectotron so I could have one mental box.
Well, that's something with the display, the way it looks, the way the everything, that's worth having one, you know, to have in box.
Yeah.
It's nice in package. Like I like the
Now go buy yourself an extra Ecto 35 Optimus Prime to keep in the box next to it.
It's in the box. I never took it out.
Well, then buy one to take out.
No.
Yeah.
It's mine's still in the box. I'm still debating, even after all these months of getting it. It's like, I want to take it out, but it looks so good in the box.
It does.
That was a really nice packaging job.
I mean, it really.
Thank you, Hasbro, for giving me that. For nothing.
And like for, you know, practical purposes too, because you can wear that thing as a backpack, as I recall. So
you
like
can.
For people who are at SDCC having to lug those around after they bought them, like, you know, being able to put that on as a backpack had to be kind of useful.
Well, I tell you what, Brian, I will buy you the Optimus Prime and I will trade you for the Ecto Optimus Prime that you haven't opened.
No.
Oh.
What kind of deal is that?
I'm just trying to help.
It's a
out of the goodness of my heart.
Okay, since I'm doing Dononomics, I'll tell you what I'm looking to sell on eBay. I saw them going from anywhere from $150 to $400. It's this. Wow. I don't know if you ever saw this in any photos of my office or here when you guys visited, but my grid case computer, the heavy duty computer that could probably take a bullet and still work. It's like.
I don't think I would have noticed it if I, you know, oh, like,
it's
I don't
a,
know what
it's a three.
So I probably saw it.
It's a 386, but it's a portable 386. It's got a handle and a amber monochrome monitor.
Oh, wow.
But like I bought moving boxes. We really need to move. So I'm just trying to get rid of crap. And I'm trying to consolidate down my big collection into a smaller, more valuable collection that. You know, if I ever more valuable collections, that when I croak, Kim would have an easier time parting, you know, getting rid of it. But if I sell that and I get $400 for it, I'll buy the Lightning Eagle and the Machine Eagle. But I'll have to Dononomics it.
Okay. I just offered. It's off the top of my head. That's okay. No problem.
Cool. Okay.
I'm just that generous of a guy.
Thank you, Don.
You know who else is really generous?
Who? Amazon.
Our patrons.
And patrons. Amazon is not so generous. Patrons are. tfradio.net/Amazon, though, if you need to buy anything. But our patrons, our touched patrons, we love you. You can get a full list of our people at the touched level. God, you guys are great. I think more than half of our patrons are touched, which is saying a lot. And I think we've retained every single one. I don't think we've lost a touched patron. So...
Nice. Thank you. Thank you for your commitment.
Yeah, you guys are committed. That's why I said we need to make more exclusive content for you guys. Yeah. Kevin Dorsey, Sean Bratton, Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Hamilton, Jason W. Rye, Mike Mallory, Jason Hiley, Jonathan James, Matthew Deadman, Hector Bones, Ryan Cooper, Nathan Sampy, Spider Bob, Rabbits, Emmett Sresovich, Gaming Fix, Patrick Davidson, and Joey Russell. Thank you guys so much. You are awesome. TFRadio.net/credits. You can see them there if you want to become a touched patron. Patreon.com/TFRadio. We post a lot of content for our patrons. I think we do a good job of keeping up stuff, especially with all the Toy Detective stuff. And the Toy Detectives are funded by patrons exclusively. So Patreon.com/TFRadio. We do a lot of content, but I want to do more exclusive content just to give back.
Also, just as an excuse to do some of the weird ideas we always
have. It's mostly weird ideas, too.
Mm. Oh, I think every idea we have is a weird idea.
Yeah. I'm excited about the next couple weeks of stuff to go over that I have on the way. Next week should be interesting, just from a weird perspective. It's not going to be like, it's not going to blow anybody away. But one item on the way, I had no idea it existed. I literally learned about it this past week. Yeah, so. And I never had a clue it existed, and then two of them popped up from the same person. So
That'll
be a fun story. Okay, let's see here. You can find us, again, patreon.com/TFRadio. All our content from a Transformers perspective is there, and I don't think we do anything non-Transformers anymore. We don't have any non-Transformers podcasts, do we, that are active?
No, I don't think so.
Nope, so everything we do is there.
Maybe one day when I actually have energy again, like I can get some Star Trek episodes recorded or something.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Of course, we have our archive of everything at tfradio.net/archive, actually, I think. But you can just go to tfradio.net and search for it. One thing
there's 100 episodes of Star Trek podcast there, actually a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. One thing I thought about doing for our touched patrons, I was going back to the stuff that we have in our archive that we could go back and finish. I don't think, what was the last movie that we did a commentary on?
I think Revenge of the Fallen, because yeah, I think it broke us.
We have a lot of movies we'd go back and do. I think that would be good Patreon content. Yeah, we'll see. Oh, I know one thing I'm going to do. Sorry. My goal is to, as I go back and re-edit all these unposted episodes of what's happened at the Headmasters and then schedule out recordings, I wanted to make that Patreon exclusive until it was done and then dump it out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I think that's a thought. Okay. Twitter, TF Radio, Facebook.com/TF Radio, Instagram, TF Podcast, YouTube. We're on Roku, Fire TV. We have our own Roku and Fire TV channels. You know, I don't marvel at that enough, but I worked my butt off and spent so many hours figuring out how to make that stuff work that, but yeah, we have a big audience there. I just never talk about you guys, but thank you guys so much for being with us there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or basically everywhere. If you want to find the show notes for this episode, you can go to tfradio.net/680. We have an episode of It's a Don Deal coming up here in a couple of weeks where I think we're going to record. So if you want to leave Don a text or a voicemail, 931-99-GOBOT, that's 931-994-6268.
Yeah, I thought you would give out my phone number. I thought, what?
Yep. No, I don't know your phone number off the top. I don't know anybody's number off the top of my head, so I have to look it up on the phone. Let's see here. Rob Springer, not here, but he is at zonebase.org and at Ruba Rob Springer. John, I think, is parenting. I don't know if he's back. I'm going to give him a second to see if he... Hey, there he is. John,
I'm back.
Get a hold of you.
Hey, that John D. everywhere.
Excellent.
Parenting's fun.
Parenting is fun. Yep, I'm close. So I'll just say, I don't talk about my kids as much, but here in the next month, the two oldest, the adoption should be final.
Oh, congratulations.
And I can start showing pictures of them, and they'll have the last name Kilby. And the eight-year-old, we've been watching a lot of Shira together. So they currently have two horrible middle names that are whatever. We're going to let them change their middle names if they want to. Kim joked that she should change her middle name to Adora. She loved the idea, so I am pushing for it.
She loves the idea now, but how's she going to feel about that in, you know, 10 years?
It's better than what she has now.
It's better than Sephiroth,
which is an actual
trendy name in kindergarten, believe it or not.
Really?
In 10 years, you'll never be able to convince her that it was her idea.
Yeah.
That's true. You should probably, like, get that on video now while
I should.
Can.
I should.
Have her sign the document.
I have to admit, I mean... it'd be a unique name. I don't see there being a lot of Adoras being
so
named
Dusty
over the
from
name.
Dusty from the RPGLL podcast. He had told his wife that he wanted to name his daughter Adora, and she loved the name until she found out where it came from. But Dusty also has a thing is amongst her friends. Dusty is also famous for having like a strange, huge. And Dusty's listening to this. Dusty, I love you. You have like you know this like a strange, crazy, strange crush on Adora, on She-Ra. I think up until he was married that if he could marry She-Ra, he would have. So.
Well, I mean, it's a very good friend of mine, a brother of someone in our chat. His firstborn son is named Raiden, and they both agreed to name him that from Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
because they both love the name so much.
Yeah, I thought it was named after the Transformer, and I was wanted to have a little talk with them. But
no. They both love Mortal Kombat so much, and that was his name, and he just loves his name. So it's like
What we're going to do, I didn't say this for the baby, though. She's currently 11 months, and when her adoption goes through, we wanted to rename the three-year-old because her name is horrible. Not horrible. It fits her now, but, like, it's just completely made up. But she's going to keep her name. But hopefully if the baby doesn't have, like, a connection to her name, we can name her Go Shooter. No, we're not.
Sure.
She's going to keep her name. Okay.
Cab might be a little bit better. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, I am on Twitter at BKilby. Instagram at Brian Kilby and at BrianKilby.com. I've not updated my podcast in a while. I haven't had time. And not really a lot of inspiration either, even though I bought a brand new guitar to play. I need to do a concert or something.
You have to admit, Brian, it hasn't really been a happy day lately.
No, it hasn't. It has not.
But maybe like you need to dig deep within yourself and find the happiness to bring to people's day.
This is
maybe true. You should be the happy day that you want to share.
Yeah. Cool. Don, how do people get a hold of you?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Rob.
On Twitter, either Figure Viewers or Rob Flails. On YouTube, Flailthroughs. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/flailthroughs. And, of course, I do still have the Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/claylist. And thank you again to everyone who got me something off of that for my birthday. I really appreciate it.
Cool. Chris.
So my toy photography related works can be found collected at playwithphotography.com. That includes galleries, articles I've written, guides sometimes. For more random, irregular content, I'm on social media, Instagram.com/playwithphotography or at playwithphotos on Twitter. I do a lot of, I post a lot of test shots there that I take when I'm trying to sort out new setups or equipment, and sometimes just if I have a weird idea or something, I'll write to the something that doesn't like fit as a gallery or something unto itself, I'll just kind of throw it out there and let it sit. If you like the toy photography work I do, and you want to support that, show some support or help me do more of it, I'm on Patreon at patreon.com/playwithphotos. Personally, I'm on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. I can't think of anything really notable I've done recently that would be worth following, but different strokes. I too have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/chrislist. It's not my birthday for months yet, but I always like getting things.
Cool. Am I missing anybody? Diecast, you go.
Yeah. You can follow me on Diecast on Twitter at Diecast too. And I also have a wish list at tfradio.net/diecast list.
Ah, that's Massey. And Massey's rubbing up against his microphone loudly.
Sorry.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Thanks for Massey, thanks for bombing Diecast plug.
It's all right, we're good. Massey and I get along. We speak the same language. Kill Dom.
Kill. Anything else, Diecast?
No, that's it.
Okay, cool. Okay, we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.